I want to call to order the Health, Education, Welfare Committee. I'd like to ask Representative Deere if she would give us the invocation, please.
Dear God, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for your travel mercies and watching over us as we travel. We ask that you be with us through this meeting as we are about the business of the nation. We thank you for all the blessings of life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Johnny Green?
Present.
Joyce Deere?
Present.
Dodie Barnett?
Present.
James Jennings?
Here.
Rufus Scott?
Here.
I'm sure you got 5 present and 0 absent.
5 present, 0 absent constitutes a quorum. All business conducted will be official. Accept the approval of the minutes for November the 6th. Motion by Representative Jennings to approve the minutes for November 6th with any corrections. Is there a second? Second by Representative Barnett. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Abstain.
Chair, you got 3 in favor, 0 against, and 1 to abstain.
3 in favor, 0 against, and 1 to abstain. Yep. Minutes are approved. Down to the order of business. TR 17-150, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the Election Board to execute a legal services agreement with Roger Wiley Law Firm, PLLC, for the provision of legal services to the Election Board. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
Motion
for due pass by Representative Barnett. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. And discussion. Yes.
Questions?
Anybody? Any questions? Anybody?
We just want to make sure that Mr. Wiley gets paid for his services that we were in court with. And so this is what this agreement is about. So we appreciate your approval to do that. Right now we're talking about retaining a lawyer for the election board anyway. So we'll get that going. We have a couple of candidates, and so we're going to decide that pretty soon.
Okay, thank you. No questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you have 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. TR 17-151, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute quotations and terms and conditions with GE Healthcare related to the operation of health facilities. Sponsors, Representative Jennings.
Madam Chair, I make a motion for a due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Jennings. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Discussion. We have all the information from the Health Department.
We got a handout.
Yeah. No questions. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. TR 17-152, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute service quotations agreements with GE Healthcare related to the operation of Muscogee Creek Nation Community Hospital and Muscogee Creek Nation Medical Center. The sponsors, Representative Jennings.
Madam Madam Chair, I make a motion for a due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Jennings. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. And discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. TR 17-153, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a GE Healthcare Service quotation in terms and conditions for the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health to obtain service on equipment at the Coweta Indian Health Facility, Muscogee Creek Nation Medical Center, and Muscogee Creek Nation Community Hospital. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Barnett. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. TR 17-154, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to submit a 2017 pre-disaster mitigation grant application to the Department of Homeland Security to implement and sustain cost-effective measures designed to reduce the risk to individuals and property from natural hazards. Representative Deere is the sponsor.
Madam Chair, motion to pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Deere. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion? Discussion. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. TR 17-160, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute and submit a 2017 playground grant application to Game Time for the purchase of new playground equipment and commitment for matching funds. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion for due pass by Representative Barnett. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Any discussion?
And then Mr. Beaver's here to answer any questions. I just have a question.
Yes.
Where are the designated properties that this will be located on?
That'd be either the Fall Dormitory and Tulsa Community Center.
Any more questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. NCA 17-218, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to Payden Public Schools. Sponsors, Representative Hill. Co-sponsors, Representative Hicks.
Madam Chair, motion to pass.
Motion by Representative Scott for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Barnett. Discussion? Representative Hicks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We do have a signature from the Payton School of the Citizen last year. But the request is for their basketball tournament. They have a yearly tournament, and they use the funds to pay the referees. I know, being an ex-official myself, you make anywhere from $100 to $150 a game. So having a tournament, this is where this money's going to be utilized, is to pay the referees, I believe, and maybe some trophies and such. But that's what that money's for, and this time I'll give Ms. Stiles some time to share with you. Let me tell you how much money they actually generate from the tournament and stuff, and to help off set up the roster for the schools.
For the past few years, we've been coming to you just about every year asking for this, and it helps. Like I said, it pays for the refs and some of the trophies. We have 3 days worth of tournaments from about 10 o'clock in the morning until about 10 o'clock at night, sometimes later. And it includes quite a few schools, Mason and some in the area that are in Creek Nation boundaries. We do generate, after Creek Nation helps pay for the refs and trophies, we still generate about $2,000 after that. So without your help, we would not be able to do it because we would not be making anything. and it greatly helps us every year, and we do appreciate it. Do y'all have any questions for me?
Does anyone have any questions?
And every bit of the money that we do make goes right back into our kids, so it's not used for building or things like that.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
No questions? Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. It is sent to BF&J for a funding source. NCA 17-219, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to McIntosh County Toys for Tots. Sponsor is Representative Jones. Co-sponsor, Representative Jennings.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Jennings. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Discussion?
Is there anyone here?
Did you have some? No. Okay.
Call Mr. Jones earlier to see if it's one that's here. I didn't get an answer from him.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Madam Chair, I am from McIntosh County, and I can say that the Toys for Tots has been in existence for probably 25, 30 years, and they do have a lot of fundraisers, and it certainly goes for a good cause down in our area, and they touch a lot of lives with the efforts they make to raise funds.
Thank you. Any questions for anyone? Yes.
Not so much a question, but just, I guess, a comment after our discussion from last month about someone from the organization being here when they're asking for money. I thought whenever people co-sponsored that meant they were going to speak for the legislation. Was a misunderstanding.
What?
When we talked about all this last month about nobody showing up when people ask for money, and what, I mean, do we vote it down or what do we do? I mean, obviously, yeah. I don't want kids to not get Christmas presents, but we just talked about this last month. And
yes, like I said, I did reach out to Mr. Jones to have someone here this morning, but I don't feel like withholding it from the kids either and give the chance for the people to appear at the full council at this regular session and let them comment then too.
Thank you. Any more questions? Roll call vote, please.
Joy Barnett?
Sure. Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. They sent to BF&J for funding source. And other business. I think this just came in. It's NCA 17-1-226. What is the wish of this committee?
Make a motion that adds NCA 17-226 to the agenda.
Motion by Representative Barnett to add NCA 17-226 to the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And the chair got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. We'll add NCA 17-226. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to a Muscogee Creek elder. Sponsors, Representative Randolph. What's the wish of this committee?
Motion due pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Discussion? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. I really appreciate you entertaining this bill, and thank you to Lisa and the Speaker. I think Mr. Clay Beaver, he might have telephoned maybe a month and a half ago, somewhere around there, and he had spoke with Speaker, and then he spoke with myself, and Speaker sent him to Devon Gals for the Out of Boundaries liaison, and he found that there's no services to help him. He looked for some veterans assistance there in, you know, in his area. He lives like 40 miles one of the ways out of Colorado. And he's 79 years old. He's a veteran. He's a cancer survivor. They took out one of his kidneys and 10% of the other kidney. And at one point, he was trying to dig his own hole or something to get his septic tank. And he's expressed that he just doesn't have the finances to get this fixed, and we rushed it today because his fear is the ground's going to freeze when it gets really cold. I forgot how many elevations up. He's real high up there. He's been there like 40 years. He's originally from Broken Arrow, and he's been really, really nice. So I know some people, when they call, they're being kind of, you know, upset, but he has expressed, you know, he's like, if y'all can help me, I can really appreciate it. Yeah, he's a real good man, it sounds like. I've never met him, but I spoke to him a couple of times on the phone.
Thank you. Yes, I've known him for years. Any questions? Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dare?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. We'll be sent to BF&J for funding source. Now we have a down to citizenship. Give us an update.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Last time we spoke, we talked about the ETC part, enhanced travel part. Our plans were that we would want to have it ready by the end of the year. We came across some issues that we've had, one of them being that Border Protection Homeland Security blackout November and December for approvals because of the holidays. So we're pushing that back. It's going to be probably about January when we get that done, but I wanted to give you guys an update of where we're at. We actually got the cards approved. Wanted to show you what the cards look like. So wanted to pass it around and show you kind of where it's at. That's actually what the card will look like. This is actually the pre-printed card that will go out. I'm going to show the chief. Second chief. We actually have one more. We've got two more steps that we're actually in the process of doing. One of it is we actually are approved to issue this card out of the Tulsa or Jinx location due to security. But we've got a biometric that we have to install up there, and we're done with that, and that's on our side for them to come out to do their final approval. The other thing is we have one more thing left as far as it's an MQ client, which is basically allowing our database to talk to Border Protection Homeland Security to do those verifications back and forth. And we're pretty much almost done with that. Like I said, but as far as the approvals go, they won't do the approvals from November, December. Because of their blackout dates. So we're hoping to have that done. We're wanting to do some kind of opening or some kind of live thing, probably with media, and issue chief and second chief and whoever is the council cards one day and then open up to the public after that. So, do you guys have any questions?
Yes.
Thank you.
Chief.
What does the M mean, not turn a corner?
The what?
The M.
It's from Muskogee. It's one. It's there's several different. And Jason, how many? We've got several different security in that card itself, and that's one of the, that's one. And it's from Muskogee. But if you can look at it, and it changes colors. You can actually put a blue light, and there's a logo inside of it. So there's like seven different security features in that card itself. And that's just from Muskogee, and then it's one of the security features.
Yes, Representative Jennings.
So every citizen will have a card like this?
This is an optional card. This is not something they have to have. This is a card. There's a process for this card, and one of it being that you would have to go through an interview process with my staff that's certified to do that. Yeah. So that card is going to cost extra, but it's not going to take the place of the other card.
Okay. The reason I was asking, you know, on our tribal ID right now, we have the flag designating the veterans on there, so.
Yes. Yeah, and that'll stay. The veteran's card will still stay. This is just a card that is actually going to be used as the passport card itself. So as you guys know, the state, they got another extension for their theirs. So this right here, once we get this done, this card will be, nobody else has this card in Oklahoma. We'll be the first tribe to issue this card. And we've got Choctaw and Chickasaw that's coming in after us after we get our done, and we're going to try to help them get on board to get their card out. And this card, these cards have RFID chips in them. That's why we have to charge for those cards. We're going to look at probably about $35 if you want, but those cards, there's a chip in there that once you go to the border or if you go to the airport, they're already going to read that card and know that you're coming up before you actually get up there and show them that card. That's why it's an optional card. You got something with it. I don't want that to be. So
will this be open? Is it adults only, or children can apply for this too? But obviously, you need the parental consent.
Anybody can apply for it, and we've got a lot of citizens calling in to us. They're excited about this. For one, is because to get a passport, if you have a mother and father on the birth certificate, they both have to consent to that. With us, they don't have to. If the mother has custody, she can get that card for the child, and they can go on a cruise. Right now, you can't take that child on a cruise without having the consent of both parents signing to get the passport. So with this one, they'll be able to go, as long as the mother or father, whoever is getting the card, has custody of the child.
Thank you.
I don't have a question about that ID, but the regular citizenship card. So on the summer youth application that just came out, they require them to have a photo ID. But minor kids' photo's not on there. So what do you do then?
We actually lowered that to 12. 12 and over can get a picture on their card. And that's been in effect since last year. And that was one of the main reasons why we did it, because the summer youth kids couldn't cash their check without having that ID. But on these passport cards, even the infants are going to have a picture on those cards.
Thank you.
Yes. For the regular tribal ID, though, they still need their parents to come in and sign off on them for them to get the photo ID, though, right?
Yes, and then, I mean, the same way with this.
Yeah, I'm just making sure.
What I was explaining is if you, right now, if a mother has custody of a child and the father is on the birth certificate and the father is on his life, they cannot get a passport for their child without having the father sign off on that. But with ours, they're able to get that card because the mother has provided documents to us showing that she has custody, so therefore she can apply for the ETC card for the child. So therefore she could get on a cruise or take that child with her on a cruise. Any other questions? And like I said, we'll make sure that you guys are aware of the date. We're not for sure of the date yet. We're hoping mid-January. Like I said, we're in the last part with our database guy right now, trying to get that connection there and talking. Everything else has already been signed off and approved. And then they'll come out 90 days after that to do an audit to make sure that we're doing everything. There's a lot of stuff that we have to do on our side as far as security and keeping stuff separate and there's only certain staff that is allowed to do this. They have to go to the training. So it has to be behind locked doors, and the only people that can go back there are the staff members that are able to do that. And then our next step, process, once we get it going, is we want to figure out a policy to do a remote, to go out to California, wherever we can issue these cards also. But we have to have that policy in place, showing that we're going to be in a secure location and how we're going to keep those cards and all that stuff secure. So that'll be our next process once we get that done.
I wanted to add real quick, that card also allows citizens to opt out of the state-issued real ID. So if the citizen doesn't want to have to go through the states for the real ID that the state is implementing, that card suffices for them. So it kind of gives another option for the citizens.
Yes, please.
Thank you. So how often do they have to be updated, and what's the cost?
It'll be every 5 years, and it'll be the $35 or $30, whatever we decide that price is going to be. We're wanting to eventually make it where we just attended a meeting in the chief's office last weekend. What we'd really like to do is use this card to not really replace the other card, but use the same kind of card for our citizenship card. That way, when they go into the departments to get services, all they have to do is scan that card, and it's going to pull up information and show them who they are and if they're eligible for whatever, you know, make sure that they're still eligible to be citizens, whether we removed them the month before or whatever. So we've got more plans with this card. We've got to get past this step first, and we're going to move into another option. I do need those cards back because they keep track of those.
Down there.
Yes.
Where's that again?
Randall has it. Randall.
Oh, I've got a question for you. So why is it we are less stringent than the state in order to get these?
Well, the state, I believe what the state is saying is they don't want to share their information. And that's why what we're going to do is and this is brought to the council, and the council signed off on that agreement that we have with them. We can cancel it at any time. It's a push and pull. So what we do is we're actually going to push that information to them. We can cut it off any time. It's going to be to whatever citizens agree to let their information be shared with those parties. That's why we're not making it mandatory, of course, because you're going to have some people that don't want to share that information. But, I mean, if you file taxes, it's already there.
And that's thank you. So there's actually a state law that prevents that. The state of Oklahoma has legislation. I think they changed it, but it prevents the state from doing that, or it did.
Is that it? No more questions? Thank you. Next is the update from the health systems.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the back of your packet that I presented you, kind of has the bullet points for the update. I'll start with the national legislative updates. There's a gentleman by the name of Mr. Robert Weaver. He's a Quapaw citizen. His family is up around the Miami area. He has been submitted, the president submitted his name to be the new director of Indian Health Service. So we expect that his confirmation hearing is going to be coming up probably early January, I assume. The Department of Health has submitted a grant application on Friday for the Small Ambulatory Grant Program. That's an Indian Health Service grant. We applied for about a $2 million grant that will go to build a diabetic center of excellence. You guys will see the supporting resolution come through tomorrow night, I believe. We're making an in-kind contribution on the grant, which will be land and equipment. So that will be our part of the grant. From the state health legislative updates, the Oklahoma State Department of Health has submitted a budget that will include a $70 million reduction due to budget cuts. The state will discontinue paying for behavioral health services. But because we have a contract with the state, our behavioral health program will go untouched by that. So what we're expecting is that we'll actually see an increase in patients coming into our system, and our ability to bill those services may even increase with that. So we're following that very closely, but we think that that's not going to, we don't think that's going to be a negative for us. However, there will be a 6% reduction in the Medicaid contracts that will affect the surgery department over at the medical center. So we'll have to be tightening up the belt a little bit on that. But we're going to hopefully grow our surgical services this year, and I hope offset those cuts by growing volume. And that's my plan for it. On medical and new provider updates, I believe that we introduced Dr. Wood, our podiatrist. He officially started in Eufaula on November the 11th, and Dr. Linda Blunt, she'll leave Okemah on December the 1st, and we've been interviewing some physicians from the Shawnee area. There's a husband and wife that's wanting to, that's looking at that position. So, and Dr. Wood officially started his first surgery procedures at the medical center last week. So that was one of the criteria when we hired Dr. Woods. We wanted to make sure that if we were going to invest in him, he was going to turn that into surgery. So that's going well. The Okemah Hospital, we did a soft opening on Friday, as most of you have heard. We moved the outpatient medicine. We saw our first patient at 7:45 on Friday morning. Over the weekend, we tightened things up, and we started with a full schedule on just the outpatient this morning. We'll be moving the CHRs and behavioral health tonight. The move's going relatively well. As you guys know, we were really trying to target, trying to move the entire hospital over. We've had some glitches with the state in getting some of our inspections passed. So I'm continuing to work with construction management and the architect on a daily basis. I don't want to come out and give any timelines, because as soon as I give you a date, something else is going to happen and I'm not going to be able to achieve it. But daily, we're trying to walk through that. I will tell you, having done this, I really feel better about having it staged over the course of a short time. Moving in small parts might be been better off anyway, trying to move an entire facility at once. But that's going really well. And so as soon as we get the entire operation moved, we'll coordinate with the chief's office to get a ribbon cutting date and have everybody come down and do that. But I've wanted to wait until we get everything done to coordinate that. The Eufaula Joint Venture, we're over halfway complete on that. The facility looks really good. They're painting on the inside of the facility right now. Headquarters, Indian Health Service headquarters, will be coming down for a tour next Monday morning at 10 o'clock. And so we're really, really excited about getting that project done as well. The ambulatory facilities, all of the clinics, we will be getting our AAAHC, that stands for the Ambulatory Accrediting Agency for Healthcare Facilities. We're going to go through that survey on January the 23rd. The LTAC is pending a resurvey on all of our conditional deficiencies that were identified during a CMS survey in June. The staff over there has been working really hard to correct all of those deficiencies, and we think that we're 100% compliant right now. And the LTAC did receive a long-term extension letter extending the resurvey time from December 22nd out a little ways. We are working right now to work with CMS. We want to expand the LTAC at the Rehabilitation Hospital. We think we can get up to a 12-bed LTAC. Right now, we only have 4 beds over there, so we think we're going to more than triple our capacity and hopefully start making a little money on that rehab hospital over there. The medical center is pending a resurvey on all the conditional level deficiencies that happened in June. We got some bids back to do some renovation over on the Hope unit, and if all goes well, keeping my fingers crossed, I hope to have the Hope unit back full strength, and we're going to expand our capacity to about, we think we can get up to 12 to 16 patients on that Hope unit once we get all of the renovations done. So that's going to be a really nice pickup for us. The Department of Health just went through a strategic planning exercise, which came out of the chief's office. We've been working on, we finalized that last week. Now we're going to take our part of the strategic plan, and we're going to have all of the facilities take those goals and start to implement that into their yearly quality improvement programs and their performance plan for the year. So whenever these administrators, and I know when I first came, there's been questions in the past about how do we evaluate employees? Do we do annual evaluations? My plan is that everyone's evaluation is going to be based upon the strategic plan and that you're going to be able to see all year. So we're really excited about that. And with that, that's my report, and then I'll let Ms. Rowe talk about the financials.
Thank you, Mr. Terry. Madam Chair, since it's so early in the month, I apologize. I wasn't able to get the November information ready. As soon as I have those financials done, I will send them to Ms. Lindsay, and she can discuss them to the committee.
Okay.
I did, however, send everybody a revised copy of the year-end. I hope you received those. I sent them to you. If you add it across the bottom, it shows about $107,000 loss. Keep in mind, this does reflect depreciation numbers, which is a non-cash expenditure. So I feel very good about this number, because another thing to remember about these financials, this is just third-party funds and IHS. This does not include any tribal funds or any grants. So when I did some preliminary numbers, I'm thinking it should be somewhere around, once we look at the entire big picture of the Department of Health, around $3.5 million to the positive for this year. So once I get those narrowed down, the auditors will be here the week of January 8th and also the week of January 22nd. So once we see if they have any audit adjustments, of course, that would reflect on that number. But I'm very hopeful that that number will pan out. Just to give you kind of a focus, cash on hand, cash operating cash at 9/30 was $21,760 and about 41 cents. At November 30th, our operating cash was $27,000, 410. Investments stayed relatively the same at about $25,100. So, if there's any specific questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Anyone have any questions?
I have a question about them, sir. I just have a general question. When we asked about the Friedman situation a few months ago,
yes.
And I mean, it was still pretty new. We didn't know, is there any headway on that? Do we have more clarity or a better summation of what the impact is going to be?
Yeah, after that report came out, Indian Health Service has sent a letter to the chief's office basically outlining that they are going to accept the Cherokee Freedmen as eligible for IHS services. So we have we've been working closely with them to see what that all that's going to entail. For me, what I was really more focused on at the time was, are we going to be getting funding for those members since they're additional members, and how is those funds going to be distributed? And so that's what we're really focused on with IHS right now, is if they're going to be eligible, how do we negotiate those funds out? Because what we don't want to have happen is all those funds just go to a Cherokee facility, you know, because those members are coming everywhere. So getting the details worked out through that is going to be important to us.
Anyone else have any questions for Ms. Rowe or for Mr. Carey? No, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Ms. Rowe. Any announcements? The LNC and HEW meets tomorrow evening at 6, and then LNC meets at 6:30 tomorrow. Also, 5:30 emergency session today. Can't think of anything else. I think that's it. Have a motion for adjournment.
Sure.
Motion by Representative Jennings for adjournment. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned, and I want to ask your Representative Scott if he will give us the introduction.